The Shroud of Turin is our topic right now on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Ken Stevenson. And he's written a few books on the Shroud of Turin, including a new book, which is the word Nazah, N-A-Z-A-H, which is a Hebrew word meaning sprinkled. And we'll learn about that in just a moment. But Dr. Stevenson also wrote a book with Dr. Gary Habermas back in 1981, Verdict on the Shroud. Then after the disastrous carbon dating of the Shroud of Turin, which made it sound like it was a phony from the Middle Ages and not the actual burial cloth of Jesus Christ, he and Dr. Habermas again combined forces and wrote a book, I believe it was called Controversy Over the Shroud. And Dr. Stevenson has also written a couple of other books on the Shroud. It's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. That second book was The Shroud and the Controversy that Gary and I wrote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, you made history in the sense that you were a part of the historical team in 1978 of scientists, I believe it was all or mostly U.S. scientists, that went to Turin, Italy, and you had 120 uninterrupted hours to actually study the Shroud of Turin up close and personal. And from that, you know, all these studies, you know, grew from that. But let's start with, how did that even come to be that American scientists got to do that?
That is, in my opinion, one of the most incredible stories of how God orchestrates things. We were in a carpool of physicists, aeronautical engineer, an electrical engineer, myself as an English professor, and we were all on faculty at the Air Force Academy. Three of us were believers. The fourth guy, our electrical engineer, was an agnostic. And so we were discussing, you know, why we had faith in the Lord and so forth. And he was saying, well, God gave me a scientific brain, and if there was some science, then maybe I'd become a believer. At which point the physicist spoke up and said, what about the Shroud of Turin? And me having been raised a Catholic, I said, oh, yeah, I remember that. And he said, well, has it ever been tested? And, of course, the answer was no. And his response was, well, if it was ever tested and proven, then maybe that would be the kind of thing that would persuade me. And from that conversation, the Shroud of Turin Research Project was born. And I don't mind saying that that fellow, D. German, dear brother in the Lord now, years later would be giving his own presentation and saying how proud he was to be the group's resident agnostic. And I guess God kind of reminded him of his statement in the car, and he gave his heart to the Lord.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, for those who are not familiar with it, this is a cloth, a linen cloth, that is 14 feet, basically, by 3 feet, basically. And it purports to contain, well, it does contain the image of a crucified man, both the front part and the back part of the body. And all of the blood wounds, they mesh with exactly what the Gospels say about the blood wounds of Jesus Christ, you know, when he was crucified and so forth, including the crown of thorns and the nails, you know, in the hands and the feet and the side, etc. So, and as well as the scourging. And I want to just say on the table, I believe it is genuine, and I believe it because of all the books I've read on it, and the fact that the blood was undisturbed, but the blood was only on there for a few hours because somehow the man in the shroud just disappeared in a moment, which I think it's almost like a photograph of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know where the shroud has been since 1357. Why don't you go ahead and wax eloquent?
Yeah, when we went over to Turin and to do the research, I got a call of all people from Rolling Stone magazine. And the editor was upset that he had been assigned to do the story. And I told him, come on over, you won't be disappointed. And for Audience, he wrote one of the best articles about the Shroud that ever came out.
Wow.
He called it the first Polaroid captured in the Garden Tomb or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, when they did the dating, you mentioned the dating.
Which happened a few years later. They did that 10 years later.
1989. And they basically gave themselves away by saying the Shroud was a fake. The one thing we knew for certain, based on our research, 6 24-hour days, 3.5 years analyzing, collating, getting peer review, trying to figure out how it happened. The one thing we knew, this was the genuine burial garment of a Sephardic Jew, 30 to 35 years of age, who died exactly the way our Lord died, to whom something so unusual happened as to leave this image on the upper fibers of the threads themselves. And it's got three-dimensional properties. We can't reproduce that with the best digital camera money can buy. We can't reproduce the image. And furthermore, the blood attenuated the image, which means the blood was on there first. The image happened second, because wherever there's blood, there's no image. Now, to say it was a fake, well, it was like, you know, what are you talking about? And what we found is not only now three different cases of people going back and redoing the work. They dated a cotton patch that was sewn in after the 1532 fire that damaged the Shroud. And not only that, but the main thing is that they violated every single scientific protocol with regard to carbon-14. First and foremost, it wasn't a double-blind study. They were there when the sample was taken.
You were actually the spokesperson for the 1978 study on the Shroud of Turin, correct?
That's correct. I was a spokesman and editor. One of the other books I edited was a collection of scientific essays that really got our foot in the door. We found the three-dimensional characteristic totally unexpectedly using a spinoff of space technology. And when that came out, and I put that all together, and we went over in 77 and presented that to the Italian authorities, I think that's what really got our foot in the door.
Explain this to us. You're saying that the image on the Shroud of Turin is three-dimensional, which is, that just doesn't happen with paintings or photographs or, you know, the usual things like this.
Exactly. What it means, simply stated, the image is encoded in such a fashion that it's three-dimensional. So wherever the body definitely touched the cloth, it's at one level, and then it falls away mathematically proportional to a body shape. To explain it, the space program used this equipment to map out the surface of the moon. The moon reflects the brightness of the sun. They didn't want to land in a pothole, so to speak, a crater. So they were able to determine how they wanted to land, where they wanted to land. We didn't expect this to be three-dimensional. We were simply trying to understand the image a little better. And we have not only a three-dimensional, I have the original three-dimensional. The Pope has a copy.
Wow.
But we got this three-dimensional imprint, and it just boggled everybody's minds, including our own.
Okay, I heard a theologian present a very biased study against the Shroud in a public forum, and one of the things he said was he showed the image that a skeptical fellow, I think Joe Nichols or something, had created of the Shroud. And as I'm sitting there listening to this, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll bet you anything. I bet dollars to donuts that if that, you know, that skeptic's reproduction of the alleged reproduction of the Shroud, if it were tested for three-dimensional, it would not have three-dimensional qualities.
None of the so-called Shroud fakes have three-dimensional qualities, not a single one.
What's a Shroud fake? What does that mean?
People who have tried to say it's a fake and try to recreate one.
Oh, okay.
The easiest characteristic to reproduce is photographically negative. We've had photography for what, 600 years before the first photograph of the Shroud was ever taken in 1898. So we know photography. So that's one of the easiest things to reproduce. And that's the thing everybody goes to, including Joe Nickell, self-proclaimed expert. Joe Nickell's image is simply not three-dimensional. No one else's is either. We had one of our scientists take a cadaver and using myrrh and aloes and some other chemicals that might be associated with a cadaver, try to bake a linen and produce an image. It's not three-dimensional. It's not even a good photographic negative. It's none of the characteristics of the shroud. And so you have to be able to reproduce every single characteristic. Three-dimensionality, photographically negative, non-directional. By that, I mean no direction. If you were an artist, you would have a preferential brush stroke, finger stroke, rubbing stroke, whatever, and that would be clearly seen when you do computer analysis as a direction. None of that exists on the shroud. And, you know, I was attacked by, I won't name him, but one that I used to really love and teach in my Bible studies. He's an apologist, and boy, he just lit into me. Ken's a former Catholic. He's biased, blah, 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 blah. But he never addressed
the issues.
Any of the scientific evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bias against the shroud that I find. That's true. All right, let me ask you this. Going back to 1978, how many scientists were they? And I understand some of them were involved in the space program, you know, in America. So many of these were Americans, but not necessarily all. Tell us the details.
Okay, we had 40 scientists primarily from America. NASA, the Jet Propulsion Lab, the Sandia Lab, the Los Alamos Lab. These were some of the top people in their fields, the Brooks Institute of Photography. And we were joined by a French and an Italian researcher when we were in Italy. But all the rest of us came from the United States, and they were directly involved. John Jackson, the physicist, and Eric Jumper, who was, they were the two founders of STIRP. They had friends. Eric was an aeronautical engineer. They had friends throughout the Air Force and NASA. And so when these things were presented to them, you know, hey, can you bring your expertise to bear on the question? The late Ray Rogers, who first proved that they dated cotton, not linen, he was a chemist with Los Alamos. And he said, and this was so powerful, he said, all my life has been dedicated to weapons of mass destruction. This is my opportunity to do something good. And I mean, and he was a devout believer.
Yeah.
But, you know, and most of the guys, we had Catholics, Protestants, Jews, atheists, agnostics. One of the best photographers ever, Barry Schwartz, Jewish, has the leading website on the shroud today.
Wow.
Why?
That's amazing.
If it's a fake.
Yeah,
you know,
he's. By the way, he's given out a TED Talk, and you can see it online. Okay, we have about a minute to go. I understand that the scientists, many of them, felt that okay, we're going to be able to prove that this thing's a fake within 10 minutes, and it wasn't so after all those hours of study.
That is absolutely true. Most of them thought it was a fake. It's been a long 10 minutes, and I will tell you, when we returned from Italy, 29 out of 40. We're not only convinced it was a real thing, but I would guess, whether they'd say it or not, admit it or not, that 29 out of 40 believed it was Jesus. So, I mean, if you get 29 scientists to say the moon isn't made out of green cheese, that's pretty good.
Okay. What about the other 11? I'm just curious.
Well, they were, the other guys, they were sure it was a real burial garment, but they did not know how in the world this could be proven to be Jesus. You know what I'm saying? One of the guys said it this way, there's no scientific test for Jesus of Nazareth. And he's right.
Yeah.
But there is a biblical test.
All right. Well,
match scripture.
We're out of time, but I absolutely want to talk with you more. I'm fascinated in this topic. Again, I believe it is real. NASA, N-A-Z-A-H, is the name of your book. It's on the Shroud of Turin, Dr. Ken Stevenson. EndTimesSchool.com for more information. Thank you, Dr. Stevenson. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Jerry. I would be glad to come back and fill your listeners in on more information.
Okay, great. God bless you now. Bye-bye.